collective bargaining, August 24th, 2016.
Thank you. Here are the minutes for August 3rd, 2016.
Does it look good on our side?
Looks good to me.
What about number three? Should that be UFF?
Yeah, you're right.
Number three says the DOT should be UFF.
Good, Chuck. That's right.
Nice job, Barbara.
So the body is correct, the handouts at the top
need
to be revised.
Yep.
Okay.
The top is correct, the body needs to be revised.
Okay.
Okay, the dates are correct.
I think. I'll fix it, whatever it is.
Okay.
Okay, where would you like to start?
Well, why don't we have, I know that our team transmitted some contract language for your consideration over the last couple of days. We thought we would do, since this is a public hearing, the public meeting is formally give these to you on the record.
Okay.
So that is looking at it. Then me, there's a modification, I think, to one of the articles that we sent, right?
No.
No?
We sent 3, 23, and 24.
Okay, correct. Well, that's 3. That's our 3. This is our 23. And this is our 24.
That's an extra ticket.
Here's an extra 3 if you want to pass it to.
These are extra 23s.
Here's an extra 23.
I took off the A. I think so. Look on page 3, Chuck. Doesn't that reflect the last?
Yes.
Okay.
So these are identical to the ones we received, I think, Monday by email.
Well, these say 8-3. Let me go check and see if there's the one that we sent you. I'll be right back. I thought that contained it, but maybe it was just a change.
Yeah, I think the header didn't get changed, Charlie. I noticed that when I was looking at the electronic version. Let's just be sure.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good, Robin. Do we need to wait for Charlie, or do we?
I think the 23 is okay.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we'll probably go ahead.
Yeah. So three levels of release time are maintained, and the some language has been inserted that will clarify that this comports with the decision of the Public Employees Relations Commission as to how release time will be used, so that there's. We don't have any trouble or challenge with regard to release time going forward. Really, what our purpose is there. Under 23 and salaries, I think the primary changes in language from what we had on the table last time is what I articulated at the end of our last session, which is to increase the wage offer. And we have an across-the-board increase of 1%. And we have a merit salary increase of 1.5% for a total of 2.5%. We have a one-time payment of $600, which sort of smooths out the issue of retroactivity. And then on again, something that we came to last time to try to address the number of awards is language at page 4 of 6, which indicates that we will have a floor of a number of awards every year. But if the number of awards that expire, relinquished, turn back in.
I wondered what word you were going to choose to put in there. I saw relinquished. I got a chuckle.
Yeah.
Especially when I saw the parenthetical phrase after it. 15 people in the room and we can't come up with a word.
whatever that is that happens when someone leaves. That if it we'll add that to the number of awards for that year. So it can never go below a certain number, but it can go above a certain number. And then we have 24. We picked up the phased retirement language, and, MOU and what?
You not send in the MOU?
Oh, no, I don't think we did. Maybe. I don't know.
No.
I can't remember. Did I didn't send it?
No.
All right.
Well, that's our intent, just to have the MOU go to effect.
And can you print out?
I need my keys.
Yeah, print out enough copies for everybody, too. Thank you.
So this is an MOU for the phased retirement?
No, for the tuition waiver.
Ah, okay.
Because it has to go back before the BOD, and then back to the, and then to the BOD.
But the expanded benefit that was picked up in the new regulation, we intend to offer to faculty.
To everybody, we just can't do anything until we know if we're going to get approval. We could either do our Article 8, or they can bring us, I know they've made changes to some of those.
Why don't you go ahead and give us your 8, and then we have some things to give you, and then it'll probably be time for caucus.
Yep, I imagine it will be.
Len, this is 3/23/24 that we gave them today. This is what we put together for Article 8 on appointment. So we picked up language on a commitment to seeking qualified and diverse candidates for vacancies. That we have a statement to continue to support spousal hires at UCF. We have a strike through at 8.2 because we think the language at 8.2 and the language at 8.1C is somewhat contradictory. If we're going to support that, then maybe they have to be advantaged in certain circumstances. We added the budget entity reference in the employment agreement. On the second page, we picked up the 133.3% instead of the 122.2% and fixed that. We have capitalized assistant associate and professor in appointment types. We have clarified the practice, although I don't think we've changed it, on length of a visiting or a non-searched appointment. We took a stab at language on supplemental summer appointments in B and C. On the next page, 4 of 5, we had offered language on overload appointments utilizing CNG funding. We're withdrawing from that language. So the only thing that's left in this article is two things. One is we have defined when summer board programs may be offered, and
we withdrew the section on for low income students.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Right. Any questions from our side about this proposal?
Not this one, no.
Any questions about their other ones?
Yeah, I do.
Ah, okay. Do you want to, which one do you want to start with?
At the beginning.
Okay.
Three. So why don't we hold off on that one?
I just had a question, just...
Oh, a clarification?
Yeah, clarification, but we can wait, it's fine.
Okay, yeah, because we've got things to show them on some of these.
Okay.
Okay, so, let me keep track of these. All right, there we go, we'll go in reverse order, so, we'll give you a proposal for Article 24.
Okay.
Okay, so we color-coded our responses. What we did is work from the proposals that you had emailed us on Monday.
Okay.
So yellow is language that we've picked up from your proposal. There's also language that you struck out that we agreed to, and it's just totally gone. I guess I could have highlighted that to indicate it. The inserts are all in yellow. So in 24.4, we picked up the university-sponsored email address, but our proposal is to make sure that communications between faculty and their colleagues around the world don't get, students and alumni don't get disrupted. Have the emails forwarded for some time from their account when they were an employee, whatever, you know, john.fouth@ucf.edu, to whatever the new one is. john.fouth@retiree.ucf.edu. And we're not wedded to that 5 years indefinitely. In perpetuity would be better. But there needs to be some large window because folks, especially in foreign countries, don't always have good access to the internet, can't find people. You know, they're trying to search in a language that's not their own. And so we need to try to keep it as simple as we can. We left in our previous proposal on 24.5 A, no, it's I'm sorry, D, about addressing changes in statutes or regulations moving forward, with the change to the language that we talked about at the table last time. Phased retirement, believe that all the changes in it are just ones that we picked up from your version. Okay, then in 24.7, to address the concerns about the BOG regulation, and also to keep the tuition benefits for family members that we've been talking about and that the provost indicated previously he wanted to see implemented, we separated the free university courses for employees because the BOG regulation specifically deals with that. And so the original statement that was in the current CBA meets that. And then what we did is we struck out the reference to the UCF regulation because that's not really appropriate. A lot of the language in it has to do with folks having high school diplomas and things like that that just aren't pertinent to our members of our bargaining unit. The one that seemed to be pertinent was just this one about the vouchers being accepted as payment, and then if the employee then the employee has a responsibility to meet certain grade requirements. We simplified that language a little bit because it was kind of cumbersome. The real important part was that someone who doesn't make a C in an undergrad course or a B in graduate course has an obligation to repay the voucher or the waiver. So then in a total standalone section, we put the tuition benefits for family members. We've specified the eligible family members in the same way that we presented last time, to include spouses, registered domestic partners, children, stepchildren, adopted children, and then any other dependents who are under 26 years of age. So it's not immediate family, but it's the dependents plus the spouse or domestic partner. And then what we did is in Part C indicated that the tuition benefits for the family members and the free university courses for the employees together can't go above 12. So it could be 9 and 3, 10 and 2, 6, no. It could only be 9 and 3 if the employees are the 3, or it could be 10 and 2 if the employees are 2, or up to 6 and 6. And we believe that will meet the requirements for the BOG regulations, because the other provisions of that regulation leave waivers for tuition and fees at the discretion of the boards of trustees. So that's clearly something that can be bargained. Yeah, those are pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. So again, the yellow is language that came from your proposals. The reds are changes that were in either new to this one or in one of our previous ones that you hadn't already picked up. So we're getting closer. Article 23 has a lot of yellow in it. Okay, so in 23.2, we picked up the language about the dates, the associate and senior instructional designers. In 23.4, we picked up the date change to December 16th. We're still proposing 2% for across the board and 1% for merit salary increases, especially if there's not some willingness to open up the guidelines for tips, because so many of our faculty members are excluded from that, and in many cases just arbitrarily. And SVAD's the classic example of that. On the one-time payment in 23.4B, we're thinking of a number, but the 600 number was meant to be compensation in lieu of retroactive, and every time we move the date back, then that number needs to go up. And so we'll request pretty soon, you know, the salary information for our bargaining unit. And so that big long phrase that's in there can just be replaced by a number. But it's meant to communicate the idea. Let's see. On the top of page 2, under number 1, we're still having trouble figuring out what the no service break means, and so we're suggesting just striking that, because we haven't seen where that's caused trouble in the past. And then the only change we really made in Part D is moving the dates back so they all coincide from August 12th to December 16th. So that all the salary calculations are being done with the same date instead of different dates. In 23.5, we're proposing that the president or his designee shall give final approval for the awards. So it still gives the cachet of the president's stamp of approval, even if the president's delegating it to someone else. And we've already communicated our discomfort with some of the previous folks identified as possible someone else's. We've picked up the number of tips and RIAs that you suggested. We struck out the up to because we don't really need that, because we have a way that if they're not awarded, they just go back in. And then with the SOTLs, we're suggesting keeping it at 10, because if we start to decrease it by one, then it's going to conflict with having 120 incentive awards. So we say we have 120, and we would for this coming year, but then the next year, if we knock off one SOTL, now we're down to 119. So that's why we're suggesting that one. And the other reason, to be quite honest, is that 10 SOTL awards, if you think about it, even though this is a university-wide award, it averages out to about one per college. And so when you go down to five, now you've got less than one per college. And that's really not very many. It's not going to serve as much of an incentive as it otherwise would. On the top of page three, the change under item one there that's in red was just, there was an incomplete part of the sentence in your proposal, and just try to fix that one. Everything else was from yours. And then, yeah, so then on the old G, we suggested striking that out because the authority lies with the president or his or her designee for approving those awards.
So if the president disapproves of a particular award, then that award gets recycled. How does the president determine that it gets recycled in the same column? You're moving that up to the president's level?
Well, I think we said, if I recall, if we put it, that the awards would recycle within the university.
No, but you just said that that's not a problem back here in terms of
let's see, where did we put it?
Something. The up to language, because they would just recycle. Okay, so you're saying nothing recycles within the college then. It all goes into the central pool.
Right, I thought that's what we wanted to have to level out. Okay, so, you know, as the faculty
so
numbers
making,
change.
You're making no distinction between, in a particular year, if award is, if you don't have enough people to apply for the award, or if the committee chair or the committee doesn't support the full slate of awards. Then, I mean, I thought all along we've been saying that particular year they would roll over for 1 year into the college. But you're saying now you want to do away with that and everything just goes back to the central pool?
Well, that's a suggestion. I guess it depends on whether we think the bigger problem is that is quality control within the college or leveling out the... We kind of have two different objectives in trying to figure out the balance of those two, of whether addressing differential growth in the colleges
mm-hmm.
is the more vexing one, or whether it's the quality control on the inside.
Okay.
We could go either way on that one, really.
Okay.
Because the numbers we could address, you know, every 3 years in full book bargaining, I suppose. I mean, that would be the other way, is to just track that. And maybe leaving this one in might be better for the year-to-year stuff. But it's a suggestion.
Yeah. I'm just curious, because that's been important to you all. So.
I think that's the only other change, other than tracking the numbers on the headings. So that's what we have for you right now.
Okay.
Here's revised minutes for your records. Here's Article 23 with the date fix.
Just the header was off. I think, I believe that that's what happened. I just didn't update the...
And here's, here's copies of the MOU that we want to provide that indicates the tuition waiver benefit that we're offering. Does anybody have any questions besides what Sherry you've already asked with regard to what we've been provided today? Well, I guess it's time for a caucus. We'll leave you with, I guess.
Well, let us read this really quick in case, because we'll talk about this at our, at the memorandum of MOU during our caucus as well.
Caucus?
You wanted to finish reading that.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
Just a quick question on this. What would be the dates covered under this MOU? What would be the start date and the termination date?
The start date would be when we get approval and we can get it implemented. I mean, we had this thing all ready to go for the fall, and then we got the brakes put on us. So I have no idea how much. It has to go back before the BOT first, and then it has to go to the BOG, so we're not... We might be able to get it in place by spring. It may not be till fall. Or, I don't know, summer. I guess we could do it in summer.
So if approved, let's say next week, is going to be retroactive to this semester.
And you're not concerned about the transferability of the waiver part as being something that the BOG is concerned about? That's why we separated ours, was to make that really distinct, because it's clear in the regulations that boards and trustees
have
authority.
Well, yes.
Other than with the employee themselves.
With the employee themselves, they have authority. We thought they had authority being able to allow waivers, but the transfers, but apparently God disagrees with us.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I think it's the transfer part that's the problem, opposed to just the standalone.
That we have been encouraged by BOG staff that this particular language will pass muster. I don't know. I mean, we can certainly take out anything that has to do with the regular employees, but are you saying?
Well, just because this is so similar to the previous language that apparently caused trouble.
Yeah, it is, but there's only so many ways you can say it. And we've been told that there's certain ways that you can say it that are acceptable, and there's certain ways that you can say it that aren't.
Can you point to where the change at? What apparently has comforted them?
I'll be happy to bring Yandy to the table if you want. She's in charge of this.
It actually might be helpful. Look it up because it's.
I doubt it. You haven't seen the audio.
I'm covering up the mic.
Helpful toward something.
Okay, well, I think our side is, has enough to get working on for a caucus.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Mike, I believe those are, these are all extras.
Okay, I'll take them all back, thanks.
Do you have something you wanted to give to us today? No. Okay. Other than what you did.
We had a couple of thoughts that came out of our caucus. With regard to Article 24 on benefits, in the language that was proposed for inclusion in the contract at 24.560.
Okay, give me a second to find it.
Page 205.
Okay.
205. Well, we think that we could agree to this language with some modification, and that would be that, and this has to do with the fact that the optional retirement program and the Florida retirement system are creatures of Florida statutes, and that we're bound by those statutes, including increases or decreases. And I think we can be comfortable with saying if a change in statutes or regulations decreases benefits to the employees, the parties shall enter into immediate negotiations. With regard to the change, we're not comfortable with here. We're not comfortable with saying for the purpose of arriving at a mutual satisfactory mechanism to restore the benefits to the previous levels, because we may negotiate something alternative to that. I mean, there may be benefit levels that cannot be restored through our negotiations because they're within the control of someone else. So, for example, Let me just say a hypothetical, which is when the Florida retirement system was changed by law to require participants, all participants, not just people in this bargaining unit, but everybody who's active in the Florida retirement system, to pay a 3% contribution on their retirement eligible salary. There's no way we could say you don't have to do that anymore, because it was for every individual participant to make that contribution. What we could do is maybe go in there and say we're going to take this into consideration in terms of wages, or we're going to take that into consideration in terms of insurance. I don't know, you know,
something else,
because we really can't restore benefits if they were to change them. I don't know of any initiative to change them, but there have been over the last couple of years initiatives to make some changes. And like, for example, if they said everyone hired after a certain date is going to go to a defined contribution plan instead of a defined benefit plan, there's no way we could restore a defined contribution plan for those people who were now under a defined benefit, because we'd have to fund the defined benefit plan. So, by law. So anyway, we're able to recognize that if there is a decrease in benefits, that we would have a mutual obligation to come immediately to the table and negotiate that, you know, a response to that change. But we can't predict what that change would be, which is implicit in the language that it would be a restoration of the benefit.
Okay, so could you just give me one more time the language that you were suggesting? Is to strike the "to their previous level" part?
I would say, like, maybe a period after negotiations, or if you want to add a phrase along the lines of "to address the change" and, or "to address the decrease" or something like that.
Okay.
Okay, while we're still on your 24, on page 105, with regard to the 24.4 language, that's section A9, which has to do with the email addresses. We're going to go back and look at this and see what we can do. We appreciate the concern that there shouldn't be some kind of slippage between the transfer of the email account. We talked in caucus about how that might occur, and maybe have sort of a comprehensive program where for a period of time before the switch happens, there's when someone emails and there's a response, it says on this date this email is going to change to this. So we build that into our system. And then we're thinking about having some kind of forwarding system, but we're going to have to go and talk with some of the people.
And talk to Joel.
Joel and legal to see what they're comfortable with. You know, it might not be 5 years, but we're going to float to them that it might be a shorter period of time, but we would still do it afterward so that there would still be some forwarding. But like Sherry says, that's right now the direction we're in is to have it stop and the new sponsored email start the next day after retirement with no forwarding, but we'll see what we can do with that. So that's our response to that.
Because that's a change from previously, where it was understood there was going to be forwarding, but for a shorter period.
Well, what Joel has been saying is that what he wants to do is 6 to 9 months before people leave, that they would start working with him to set up an automatic response that as of this date, and then begin moving, working to, what's the word I want, Chuck?
You
want to
migrate
their address.
Yeah, migrate the address book, perhaps some of the files and stuff. He's got to be involved in all that, but the idea that he has spoken to me about previously is that this would be done up front so that at the time of retirement, things are going to go more through.
Yeah. But the idea of having something done ahead of time is a great one. The problem with it is that someone, you know, from overseas who emails the old address after the migration doesn't get that. And so that now the communication's been cut. So if we can address both ends, that should be the best world.
Yeah, what kind of period of time.
Okay.
We're not closing. Bottom line, boiling it all out, we're going to explore what our options are in terms of having some kind of forwarding mechanism so that people stay in touch.
Well, if it helps your discussions with Joel or whoever, let him know that we're very pleased to have that sort of pre-migration notification and automation of the system. Because sometimes, a lot of times faculty do that, but some folks forget and whatever. And that we'd also like to see that extension for as long as possible, the forwarding, to catch. Yeah.
And then the last, I guess, piece of the 24 that we respond to is we gave you the tuition waiver MOU. That's our position on tuition waiver. Like we've been articulating, we think that is, as it exists, is under review and may not be acceptable and implemented. We think that if we were to expand beyond what we have in the MOU by going to 12 hours for a tuition waiver would not pass approval and would probably maybe scotch the whole thing. So we're back at the tuition waiver level, which is the expanded benefit that is reflected therein for the purposes of this year. And like Sherry said, I guess we could, if all goes well and we can get this approved, we can hopefully get this in place by the spring. But a lot of it is going to depend on third parties. And with regard to the salary article, we'll just have to take that back and go through it carefully and bring you a new one back.
Okay. So let us share our thoughts on 8, because okay. I think we're closing in on that one as well. So starting at the top, the changes that you suggested in 8.1 and 8.2, mm-hmm. We think will benefit the university and our members, so we're good with those. In 8.3, the one part where we can expand that to be more inclusive, which supports the goals of both UFF and the university, is in 8.1c. So we could say continue to support, where practicable, spousal and domestic partner hires at UCF. So it would be a small change, but sends a very strong message out. Is that the last one? Okay, all right, thank you. On 8.3, because it doesn't cost anything and brings us into the modern era. For part P, it's on page 2 of 5. We'd like to see the language linking, giving our new employees the link to the collective bargaining agreement maintained on our sites.
Where?
Here.
554.
Oh.
Yeah, lines. Good idea, use lines.
Just include a link to them.
So we would change the statement to say, here is a link to the BOT-UFF collective bargaining agreement?
Yeah, we'd suggested language previously about that.
Okay.
8.4 and 8.5, the changes seemed acceptable to us. On 8.6 B, so it's line 71, we'll suggest a small wording change in that line to say supplemental summer appointments also include thesis or dissertation supervision, directed individual studies, and supervision of student interns, right? It's not an either or, it's a comprehensive.
Yeah, I think the language on both of those should be and or, because it's some people direct thesis and some people,
yeah.
So it's just a list.
Yeah, it should be and or on all of that.
Okay.
But it's really those are the activities we want to capture. It's not
right.
They're not examples or these set things, and then make sure that it's understood that it's all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in part C, we think the first sentence just by itself is fine. That's all we need, because employees can volunteer to do lots of different things, and if we put a statement like that in everywhere where they could, this thing would be 4 inches thick. The one where we might have to do some thinking.
Wait, are you done with C?
Yeah.
What about the last sentence in there where we encourage people to report uncompensated effort? I thought that might be a good idea.
Folks just do that. I mean, that's just normal.
Okay.
Everybody does that.
Yeah, it is covered elsewhere.
It's covered elsewhere.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I guess my first reaction was the same as yours, Charlotte, but now that I think about it.
Yeah, and so speaking of things covered, or where we have something elsewhere in the CBA, this is in 8.8, the study abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Not in A or B, but in part C. And so it's likely to be, so the make sure that we understood this correctly. So the fall extended semester doesn't go beyond the calendar year, but it might encroach on the holidays that we have. So where UCF is on a holiday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then the spring extended semester probably wouldn't, it doesn't extend beyond our contract year, right?
Right.
So this may be more of an issue just for that fall extended one. Because it's going to could encroach on the holidays, mm-hmm. and so those are paid days off.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also may put us in contradiction with Article 9.3B about how many teaching days plus additional assignment days we have in the semester. So it's 75 days for instruction plus 10 other scheduled activities. And so that's our big concern is
okay.
that we're not contradicting other language, and that okay. if folks are working on what should be paid holidays, they should be compensated for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the reference
9.3B.
Okay.
D is in
B is in baby.
It's in baby. We hope those continue to be paid holidays.
What's a holiday?
Well,
I know.
Especially administrative leave.
Yeah, I mean, you know, technically, we all hold our breath every year until the president announces he's actually going to close the university down, because for a long, I don't know how long you've been here, but when I first, that's only been going on about the last 4 or 5 years. Before
yeah.
that, you got Christmas Day and
New Year's
Day. That was it.
Yep, I've worked here many times.
Because I've been here for a while now, since 03.
Yeah, but you're a faculty member.
Yeah, for those of us on 12 months,
it's
you here.
I was here December 27th through,
mm-hmm.
I worked New Year's.
You need a union.
So you're saying the union helps people not work?
Even Mike is grinning. Maybe a bemused grin.
Most people get much needed time off.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that,
John.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. Okay. Those were all the
okay.
the thoughts we had.
Good.
Well, I think we are okay. inch by inch making progress.
Can we wrap this up next time?
We would love to.
We would
you
love
wrap
to
wrap it up anytime you want, Tom.
No, we're
gonna wrap it up right now if you want.
Nobody would like to get this done more than we would, trust me.
Maybe we will.
Hope Springs Eternal. I didn't think we'd get this far today, actually. So.
Oh, did we talk about the MOU?
Yeah.
Okay, we did.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
All right,
well,
thank
you,
very
guys.
Much.
Okay,
we'll see you.
I think it was a productive session.
I know, we need to have a productive last session.